Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's Monday already and that means only one thing. Radio Newark Sport's back on your wireless. And a mixed weekend for our dedicated size. Newark Rugby Club progressed to the third round of the RFU Cup without even playing. Opponents Stewarts and Lloyds crying off on Friday. Two Laura Donaldson goals put our hockey ladies in command against Market Arborough. Problem was, they eased off and ended up dropping points. And Flowserve bowed out of the Senior Cup at the first round stage, beaten by Step 6 side Dunkirk 1-0 at Lowfields. No Rocher tonight, no Paul Halfpenny tonight. So it's down to Rob, Lynn Coombs and Tony McSmith to give their weekend reports from Kelham Lode, Lowfields and the Magnus. And if we can stop bickering long enough, we can have a look at the stories both local and national. I'm Mick Bradley, and he's not going to the World Cup finals, and this is Radio Newark Sport. And there is only one place to begin. There really is one place to begin tonight, isn't there, Tony? I don't know. Poor Scotland.
That's the easiest pint you've ever won.
Well, you know, we said it, didn't we? We did say it.
I'm heartbroken. Oh, dear. Anyway, I support Wales now.
No way. Egypt have qualified.
Oh dear.
Iceland have qualified. Costa Rica have qualified. England's even qualified.
Yeah, that should be three interesting games.
But where are the jocks? Are they going to Russia? Like you said there was. And they're not, because they blew it.
Yeah, big style.
Hey, a bit more drop music. And the reason they're
not
going...
You're a cruel man.
Do you know the reason the jocks are not going to Russia?
Because we drew 2 over Slovenia.
They're not tall enough.
Oh, yes, I heard about
According
that, yeah.
to Gordon's tracking, yeah. his team were genetically behind as they missed out on the World Cup final by drawing 2-2 in Slovenia. We had to pick a team to combat their height and strength, said Strachan. It's a problem for us, and we have to work harder on every ball. We are behind. In the last campaign, we were the second smallest side, apart from Spain. Well, of course, Spain's rubbish, aren't they? So, I mean, height does matter, doesn't it? Come on, Strachan. It gets better. Maybe we get big women and big men together to see what they can do. They even wear skirts up there. The men, that is. They're not going because they're not good enough.
Look, just have your pints and shut up.
Simple as. Now, let me take me back to this 25-year sports editor who was convinced they was going. Quick bit of Scottish music. Oh, am I enjoying this?
That's cruel.
No, it's not cruel.
It is.
Rumour is they're going to have the FIFA World Vase. So teams like Scotland and the Faroe Islands, Gibraltar and the Isles of Scilly can all get together and you know, be on par with each other.
Mm. We'd lose that.
You probably would lose that. Mm. So you're not Tony McSmith anymore, then?
Yeah, but it's just it was just a slip up, you know.
Oh yes, it was a slip up.
It's a mere blip.
Yes, it was a slip up.
It's a mere blip on the world on the way to world domination. Mm-hmm.
Two major blip-ups this week. At least the Scotland didn't come down from the war, even if the country did fall down around us. Right, I want to get serious now. Mm. Okay, forget Scotland for a minute. Let's get serious. Zach Hardacre, the Castleford Tigers fullback that we spoke about last week, who got dropped, mysteriously got dropped from his team, who was playing in possibly their biggest match ever. Well, we know now why he got dropped, because he's been taking cocaine.
Oh, that's the job, is it?
He's been provisionally suspended after testing positive for cocaine and will not be included in England's World Cup squad. 25-year-olds were admitted from the Tigers squad for the grand final loss to Leeds Rhinos on Sunday. His failed test came after a Super 8 game against Leeds, his former club, in September. He could be suspended for 2 years as a result of the positive test. Now, I don't know a lot about rugby league, but apparently Zach Hardacre is big in rugby league. Mm. He is one of the really big names. I was given an opportunity by this great club, and for what is most important weeks in the history, I've let everybody at the club down. Yeah. Yes, you have, pal, including the supporters. Big,
yeah,
big time. But, Tony, that's three sportsmen in a week. Jack Burnham in cricket from Durham, Dan Evans, the tennis player, and now Zach Hardacre.
Mm.
What the hell are they doing?
They're ruining the... ruining their livelihoods, unfortunately. Going down the same line as Ben Stokes has. Obviously in a different way, but I mean, it's just... if you get the opportunity to perform at the top level in your sport, then you've got to accept all the responsibilities that go with that. And you just can't do stuff that sort of, you know, puts your game in disrepute.
It's just beyond... I mean, they probably... I've got no doubt there's pressures that we don't understand.
Mm,
being like that. That, yes, I will accept. But you've also got people round you to look after those pressures. Mm. Where we haven't. If we get pressure, we have to sort it out for ourselves. They've got people round them to mollycoddle them in everything that they do. And they still... there's millions of us out there that wish we was as good a sport as those three.
Yeah. But I mean, if you just...
there's no excuse for blowing it.
No.
Or sniffing it.
But no, it's just something you don't do. You know, it's simple, isn't it? It doesn't really take a great deal of intelligence to know you're going to go and bother if you do something like that.
I don't know. Let's go back to the World Cup finals, which Scotland are not going to. Not playing the music again. Well, I may do, but not at the moment, I'm not. Dick Advocaat is manager of Holland. Says he dropping his pen.
Slick.
Yeah, slick. He's manager of Holland. Yeah. And before the weekend, they was on course to qualify. All they've got to do is beat Sweden tonight. And the winner of that one will qualify.
Yeah.
And the reporter said to Dick Advocaat, well, what happens if Sweden go and beat Luxembourg by 8-0? That won't happen. I've been in sport all my life. That won't happen. Sweden 0, Sweden 8, Luxembourg 0. So the goal difference now means that Holland have got to beat Sweden tonight by 7 clear goals.
Really?
And that, Mr. Advocaat, trust me, is not going to happen. So Holland are going to miss out.
Oh, well, we're in good company then.
On the World Cup finals. And it gets even better for you, because Argentina could quite easily miss out.
Mm.
The top four go up from South America, and at the moment they are six, with one match left to play. They could get fourth, but they've got to go to Ecuador, where they never do well, because it's sort of somewhere equivalent to the moon in height. But if they do, they could... perceivably get fifth, which is a playoff spot against New Zealand, so that's really a bye, isn't it?
Yeah.
A two-legged game against New Zealand. But Argentina have struggled. France have scored less goals than England in their qualifying campaign. and they're supposed to be good.
These are some fine stats.
You can't believe it, can you?
Yeah.
Less goals than England. And Germany created a record. Played 10, won 10, goal difference plus 39. They can beat the little teams. Now, everybody's getting excited about the World Cup finals. England are going. But let's be honest. They ain't going for long, are they?
No, but did you see the warning from the Russian police? They will face, the supporters will face extreme violence. I'm glad we're not going.
I don't think they will, because I don't think that Putin will let it happen. And what he says goes over there. He's putting his country in a showcase, in a goldfish bowl, isn't he? Everybody in the world is looking at his country.
Yeah.
He will make sure that works.
But
he will. It's all right, his hooligans going to France and causing mayhem, but in his own country, if they step out of line once, they'll be down a salt mine for the next 20 years.
I tell you something, I'm glad Scotland aren't going, because Scotland, we've got fantastic fans. The Tartan Army are fantastic, but I just think the supporters going to Russia will be in trouble.
They might be off to drink lager, but can they drink vodka?
No, it's not a good idea. The best of times, that.
We're skipping between football and rugby league here tonight, because Danny Maguire marked his final Leeds game with 2 second-half tries as the Rhinos east past Castleford to win the 8th Super League Grand Final. Captain Maguire was named man of the match at Old Trafford to bring his 15-year Leeds career to a perfect end before his move to Hull Kingston Rovers next season. Zach Hardacre, are you listening?
Rob Burrows last game as well for Leeds. He's been a great servant to that club.
I mean, these guys are true professionals, aren't they? You know, I mean, the Zach Hardacres of this world, instead of getting tattoos all up your arms and everything, just concentrate on what you're doing.
It's just it's staggering that what Zach Hardacre's done. It's just unforgivable. I mean, like, sort of, not so much, you know, sort of old gits like us, but what are the kids thinking? What are the young Castleford Tigers supporters? What sort of example is that to be set?
So,
it's frightening.
We're now off to Australia without arguably our best cricket player and arguably our best rugby league player. That bodes well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it would have been tough down under anyway in the Ashes series, but without Ben Stokes,
no, it's impossible.
There's not a cat in hell's chance.
England batsman, which
is tremendous letdown for everybody concerned, isn't it?
Yes. England batsman Alex Hales is not expecting to face criminal charge over the incident outside the nightclub in Bristol in September. Hales was interviewed under caution by police on Friday, but was released without being under investigation. Which, for Alex Hales' future, I'm pleased about, because he's the local lad in all this. And,
exactly.
His lawyer apparently would be surprised if any further action was taken.
I don't think he actually did anything, did he?
Still completely beats me why, in the middle of a cricket series, they was allowed... Well, they shouldn't be allowed out, the grown-ups, but they was out at 2:30 in the morning. You're playing a cricket match in less than 36 hours' time with 20,000 people paying vast amounts of money to watch you at your best, which you're not going to be if you're out on the drink.
Yeah. It's just staggering.
It's rubbish. It really is.
I think Paul Johnson spoke very well on Thursday night, didn't he, about it? You know, and,
I've had one or two people actually come up to me over the weekend and said that how well Jono spoke.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got somebody like that who's witnessed such a long and distinguished cricket career, for him to come out with statements he did, I thought was tremendous.
We used to go on a regular basis when weren't Simpsons as it was, and Flow Server, IDP, whatever they call themselves, sponsored the Sunday League matches at Trent Bridge.
Yeah.
Albert Bockin.
Yeah.
Albert Bockin days, because Albert was a big cricket, wasn't he? And they all used to come up and have a drink at the end of the game. But those in a safe environment, wasn't they? And if they wanted to stop there with Albert drinking till 10 o'clock at night, then fair enough.
Yeah.
Somebody took him home. Father used to take Albert home. but those in a safe environment. Nobody was going to have a pop at them.
Yeah.
It's simple.
But it's also simple to know that as a cricketer, as a top sportsman, don't matter about what sport it is, you just don't go drinking till half two in the morning, do you?
No.
Because, especially if you go into a club, then there's always going to be some, you know, idiot drinking on an empty head that's going to be looking for trouble. You know, it's just, like you say, if you want to have a drink, then do it in your hotel room. You know, don't go out.
One story I was pleased to see, again, another young man that's come on really well, Max Wicklott, has become the first British gymnast to retain a world title by taking the pommel horse in Montreal. The Olympic champion beat his Russian opponent into silver and the world champion into bronze. I'm speechless to go out there and do it all again, he says. The medal is Whitlock 6 at the World Championships and makes him Britain's most decorated gymnast at that level. Somebody who's gone out in a sport that's not, you know, it's not got the same kudos as football and rugby and cricket. He's gone out there and through sheer hard work and dedication, he's made himself into the world's best.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased for him. I'm not a great fan of Formula One because I think a lot of it's down to the car these days.
Do you remember when they used to have overtaking in that?
In the olden days?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not a great fan, but Lewis Hamilton's one of ours, so he's English, and he took a giant stride towards it. What?
Nothing.
You sighed.
No, I just don't like him.
No, he doesn't come over with somebody he can like, does he? A giant stride towards his fourth world title with victory in the Japanese Grand Prix when Sebastian Vettel retired early on. Well, actually, he retired on about the fourth lap. His car sort of needed a spark plug change or something, so...
I don't follow motorsport, but if I did, I'd support Ferrari.
Why?
I like the colour.
That's logic! very, very belatedly, it's going to be our look at the sports, the local sports headline. You see, we got so carried away. And Newark Town season carried on from bad to worse with a 9-1 defeat at Aldworth in the Senior Cup. I really am beginning to worry for where that club is going. And after scoring 7 in the week, Grantham Town came down to earth with a bump. They lost 2-1 at home against Stamford Rangers. And staying in Grantham, this time with rugby, and Kes Stevens suffered the same feat as Newark in the RFU Cup when their opponents Biggles Wade looked at the map book and called the game off. And finally to hockey, and Newark's men started life in the East Midlands Premier Division with a 5-2 home defeat against Ashby. As Paul Halfpenny told you, it's going to be a long season for our men.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
See, it's only me and you, we just get carried away, don't we? And all my timings go astray.
Why did Stewart and Lloyds call off?
They called off on Friday. Mr. Wardman, in 10 minutes' time, will tell us exactly why they called off.
I forgot we got Mr. Rugby on.
We have Mr. Rugby, and there are lots of questions tonight for Mr. Rugby. We're going to do the Newark bit, and then I've got lots of questions.
Oh, really?
I hope he's on the ball tonight.
Are you going to grill him?
He's going to be grilled. Going to be grilled. This is the time on a Monday evening when we normally chat to Craig Roach about how Flowserve got on, and he tells us that they won and they're top of the table and they're 8 points clear and life's wonderful. The only night he's unavailable is they lost. They lost in the first round of the Notts Senior Cup, a competition which they haven't been in for a number of years, but they're back. They was back in it this year, and they got drawn at home to Step 6 side Dunkirk. Now, I went along on Saturday afternoon so I could run the roll over both clubs, and Tony, who is now part of the Flow, so they've set up on the back of, he found a team that had won more than two games, so he joined them. He's part of the Flow, so they've set up, so we're going to get his totally biased opinion, and then my totally unbiased opinion will follow. But just as a bit of a background to where we are on this, in football, Step 7 is the lowest form of organised football you can have on a Saturday. And then you move up the ranks, obviously, until you get to Step 1, which is Man United and Chelsea and them sort of people. OK, Step 6 is obviously the next up. If Flowserve win the Notts Senior League, they go into what they call Step 6 football, which is either the East Midlands Counties, which is what they'll go into, or the North East Counties, of where Ollerton went into last season when they won the Central Midlands.
Yeah.
OK. Dunkirk actually came down from Midlands grade football, which is step five. They got relegated last season, basically. The money dried up, players disappeared, and they come down. This season, they're sitting seventh in the East Midlands counties, effectively in the pyramid, 12 places above Flowserve. So it was a test for Flowserve, who are running away at the moment with the not senior league, because if they do go up, if shock, shock and shock, we get floodlights and everything else up there, and they do go up, Dunkirk are the sort of teams they'll be facing. So that's the background. Tony, the match report.
It was a big step up for us, very big step up for us, and the consensus of opinion after the game was that we'd have probably settled for being as close to them as we were. I think if we played at that level five or six times prior to the meeting Dunkirk, we'd have given them a better game, but it was a massive step up for us, and you could tell, because Dunkirk looked very composed and settled on the ball, and we looked like we were going, whoa, it's the big boys. And you know, I mean, we gave as good as we got, I think. And it wasn't one of those defeats that you felt bad about afterwards. You thought, well done, good effort. That's really my opinion. But they did look a very, very good outfit.
It was a single goal.
Yeah,
I think second half, just for half time. Can't recall. It was a single in the first half, and it was a good goal.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Nathan watched it come back out.
But as Kirky said to the players at half time, you can't back off people when they're 20 yards out. They back off when they're 40 yards out.
I think what hit me, Tony, was the difference. I've looked from afar and thought, last season Ollerton is struggling. I didn't expect him to struggle. I can see why they struggled.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a bit better this year. They've got a bit more streetwise, I think. And I can... It shocked me, the difference between step seven, the best of, and the mid-table step six.
Yeah.
You've hit the nail on the head, composure on the ball.
Yeah.
There's a lot more composure. Everything that Flowserve did, it seemed to be able to do in a rush. Probably with the exception of Jack Beckett, who's played at that level. Nobody wanted to put the foot on the ball. Yeah. It was... You know, to use one of your cliches, a hot potato.
And Jack Beckett was carrying an injury as well.
And you're listening to their manager, and not a nice man, some of the language that was coming out, and he was targeting Jack, he was telling them to target Jack Beckett. So, okay. I think there's a massive step. I think you've probably got the players to do it, plus one or two more.
Yeah.
But I think it was a little bit of an eye opener.
It was an eye opener in that it's taught us what we're going to need to do to compete at that level. I think we've got the players who can do it. They were just inexperienced against that level of opposition. But I reckon if we played five or six games at that level prior to the Dunkirk game, then we could have given them a far better game. But at the minute, for us in that league,
there are too many easy sides.
We're strolling the
league.
This
is what I've always said in people's... The Central Midlands is a harder league to get out of than the not senior league.
Yeah.
Clifton Allwhites was cute. They come at the Central Midlands into the not senior league and immediately went into the East Midlands counties.
Yeah.
They was cute. It's a... The not senior league is... got a lot of average sides in it.
Yeah, but I think Saturday was good for us because we now know what we've got to aspire to, what level we've got to play at. And I say this, we are stuffing teams in the league.
But yeah, but that's just the fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's where it's in.
But
there,
that cup game will define our season, I think.
I think it will. Interestingly enough, I thought there'd be more people up there on Saturday.
I think weather-wise, they were a bit put off, wasn't it? Because they did chuck it down.
Let's just... I think those 80.
Yeah.
On my count, those 80 there. The AFC Mansfield played Albion Sports. Now, AFC Mansfield have had a cracking run in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
This is in the FA Trophy. They're going places.
Attendance? Have a guess.
283.
Reniff played Worksop in what is effectively a local derby. Guess?
400.
241. Grantham played Stafford Rangers. And Stafford Rangers always bring a lot of people. Guess?
2,000.
320.
Really?
I've got two more. Truro against Hampton.
You like Truro, don't you?
531 at Truro.
Yeah.
And Salford City against Leamington.
1,500.
1,582. The point in all this is that if Newark had a successful side in Newark, they would beat all them apart from probably Truro and Salford. Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They really would.
I think if we had a successful side in Newark, the home games would be attended by as many people as go to the Willie Hall Cup final. Easily.
I'm absolutely sure of it. Right, let's stop waffling, find out what's happening in the world of sport, and I'm sure we're going to mention Zach Arnaker again, and then we're going to come back and talk to Rob Wildman.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And guess who we start with? Casford's Rugby League fullback Zach Hardacre says he's made an enormous error of judgment after testing positive for what's believed to be cocaine. He's been suspended and hasn't been picked for the England World Cup squad. It's not yet known whether Hardacre will appeal, but he says he's never taken a substance to enhance his performance. He was dropped from Saturday's Super League Grand Final with the Tigers for a breach of club rules. And meanwhile, Wigan fullback Sam Tompkins is also among those who have missed out on a place in England's World Rugby League World Cup squad. There are two uncapped players in the 24-man group, Warrington's Ben Curry and St Helens prop Alex Walmsley.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
And enough of the Tony and I waffle. We're now going to talk to an absolute expert on the subject of rugby union. Welcome, Monday night, Mr. Rob Wildman. Rob, hello.
Evening, folks.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
You're very well. Rob, I've got absolute tons to talk about tonight, so I'm going to get straight on with it.
Okay.
And we're going to test you on lots and lots of things, but let's start right at the beginning. And Saturday's match was cancelled. Now, this is the RFU Cup. I'm led to believe that you get no option. The RFU put you in whatever cup, but you haven't got the option of not entering. There's 16 matches scheduled for Newark's section on Saturday.
Yep.
Six of them were cancelled. Yep. And amazingly, three of those was because the home side could not raise a side. What's going off, Rob?
No, obviously, among those games was obviously Newark's game at home to Stuart and Lloyds, and South Wales match at Market Harbour was among those cancelled and walkovers awarded. No, it is a very worrying state of affairs. Various reasons are given. Obviously, that there's a priority on the league games. Players earmark those games, and perhaps on cup weekends they look to take weekends off. So there's that problem. Stuart and Lloyds cried off on Friday lunchtime because of injuries and unavailability. We were called about just before 1 o'clock. To be fair to Market Harbour, who cried off against Southwell, they cried off last Sunday, so obviously they put up the white flag far earlier. The RFU Intermediate Cup is for clubs level 6-7, that area of the game, is to compensate clubs for playing in smaller leagues. As you go higher up the league system, you play more league games, thus the season doesn't have so many blank weekends, and the Intermediate Cup has been brought back in to give clubs extra fixtures. We were looking forward to a home game. We'd beaten Oakham in the last round in extra time. Obviously, we were favourites, obviously, to beat Stewart and Lloyds. So it's very disappointing. We are in the third round draw, which will be announced this time next week.
And you could be going to Crewe, Kidderminster or Ludlow, or even Southall.
Yes, it's the Midland section, so yes, we could be faced with quite a long trip.
Quite a trek there. I mean, and the cup below this one is the one that Kesh Stevens in.
Yeah.
And the Vars, and Kesh Stevens' opponents, Biggleswade, cried off, and they didn't play either.
No, it's worrying. Players are more and more are identifying just to play in the league games, picking and choosing. You know, clubs across the board, below the professional level, perhaps below you know, part-time money, level 4 or 5, are struggling to put teams together, and Newark are in the same boat.
Financially, though, I was talking to the president on Sunday morning, and even though he didn't, there was no lunch and everything booked. The programmes had been written by yourself and printed, and they was all ready to go. So there is a financial implication in all this as well, isn't there?
Oh yes, no. Any home game at Newark, you know, obviously the bar revenues, you know, a big earner for the club. Yes. So no, we lost a home game. We lost. I couldn't say how much we lost over the bar, but certainly. You're talking perhaps
£1,000. Yes, that's not going to come back.
No.
One game did take place on Saturday. I think the third and fourth played. The Colts played on Friday night. I went down to have a look at the Colts on Friday night, Rob.
I popped along, yes. We won, I think it was 66-0, and they played very well. It was good to see them playing. They've got a tough task next weekend. They're playing. They've got a fixture book to play down at Bishop Stortford. Down there, one near Luton in Hertfordshire. So, good luck to them for that journey. Yeah,
they was okay. You're probably only as good as your opposition and all that. I know that, but they was throwing the ball around. The ball movement was lovely to watch, Rob.
Oh yeah, no, they scored some good tries. You got to question the level of opposition they played, but no, they certainly took their chances and played some good rugby. They've got some, you know, they've got a good squad of over 25 players. They want to play rugby, so good luck to them. No, they play some good rugby, and you know, they're worth following this season.
The one game that did play on Saturday was the third and fourth mixture, was it? Or
that's right. Yes, they won 67-7 over at Casuals, and the star of the show was a referee, Kenny Graham. And would you believe he was 70? And he celebrated at the end of the match with a family picture, and he was chaired off by the casual players. Yeah, so that Kenny Graham, 70, he was refereeing on Saturday, and did a fair job actually.
That's good. That's excellent. I like that. That is absolutely wonderful. Right, I'm going to take you away from Newark now, Rob, and get your opinions on. Well, I've got.
I must mention Callum Holmes got 3 tries in that game.
Excellent.
A very forceful centre. Yeah, did very well.
And that didn't do his opportunity any harm at all to go into the seconds and the firsts.
No.
The Welsh Rugby Union is considering changing its international selection policy, which could allow more senior players based abroad to play for Wales. The WRU policy permits only 4 players at clubs outside Wales to play for the national side for the next 2 seasons. The quota is due to drop to just 2 wildcard picks on 2019-2020. In Australia, players who have won at least 60 caps and played domestic rugby for 7 years can be selected regardless of playing abroad. Do England and Wales make it difficult for themselves by having these rules, Rob, or are they right to maintain the standards of rugby in their own countries?
The Welsh situation I don't understand. It's completely confusing what they're trying to do. There's various schemes afoot. England obviously have a straight rule that if you go abroad, you're very unlikely to be considered unless there's exceptional circumstances. And I think most people in the game think that's fair enough. England's depth of player is so strong that the players who have gone abroad, when they do well for their French clubs, their names are bandied around. But the reason they've gone abroad is that they were struggling to get into the England squad in the first place. Wales is different a little bit because they've got a smaller pool of players, and perhaps the money in the regional teams in Wales is not as much, obviously it's not as much as what the England clubs can offer, and certainly the French clubs. And obviously this latest bout of Welsh debate has been sparked by last week's decision of Reece Webb to join Toulon next summer. But the Welsh situation is more complex, and you'd have to speak to a Celtic member of the rugby community to understand it, and I confess I don't. I'm sure when Gatland picks his squad in 2 weeks' time for the November games, he'll somehow get all his best players on the park.
I take all my rugby guidance from one man. That's you, Rob.
On Welsh rugby.
on any rugby.
They can defeat most people, but I'm sure they'll have a very good team come November. They've got some great players, and they'll have a very good team. And the Welsh are renowned in rugby to have local disputes which can go on for weeks and weeks, and people can run around and get very dizzy, and in the end you get the same result as what they started out with. And I'm sure Wales will have a very strong team in November.
Kyle Sinclair can consider himself fortunate to get off with 7 weeks ban after making contact with Northampton lock Michael Patterson's eyes last weekend.
Yeah.
They say he's fortunate to get 7 weeks because Chris Ashton was banned for 10 weeks for a neck and face roll. Yeah, Rob, you explain to a layman what a neck and face roll and gouging's all about?
What's the first question?
Gouging. Let's talk about gouging.
Yeah.
What I take it this is something that happens in the scrum, is it? Or shouldn't happen in the scrum?
With Sinclair, happened in a tackle situation. He tackled a guy, then decided he wanted to rip Patterson's scrum cap off because they were having a bit of a squabble on the floor, and then the TV pictures picked up eventually that he used his hand in the face of Patterson. Whether he actually gouged the bloke, there was no eye injury, but I think the rugby league lads would call it, you know, having a bit of a facial, they call it. So Sinclair, again, I wasn't at the game, and it was quite bizarre, really, because the Harlequins coach, John Kingston, defended Sinclair immediately after the game and said on no account did he do anything of the like. And yet, come the Tuesday evening of last week, Sinclair went to the disciplinary hearing and pleaded guilty, held his hands up and took his punishment. And he got 7 weeks, which I think was a fair enough suspension. Stupid thing to do. Obviously, Sinclair plays near the edge, has a bit of a temper, out of order. I think Ashton, from memory, the reason why he got 10 weeks, I think he pleaded not guilty. And again, there are a few pretty old-style disciplinary hearings. If you go in and you're a good boy and you hold your hands up and say, look, fair cop, Gov, you get a dispensation. And I think Sinclair got that because he went in, nice tie on, said he, you know, he apologised for the incident, had let himself down, copped his medicine, and I think Ashton argued the point, and thus he got 10 weeks.
Yeah. So
again, in rugby union, the sentencing can be all over the place. It can be very, very hit and miss, maybe a clumsy expression.
You've got to be, I'll say Dozy is a big lad, I hope he's not listening, to try anything like that with the amount of TV cameras looking
exactly. It was stupid. They're on the floor, having a bit of a squabble. He ripped his scrum cap. He took his scrum cap off. Whether he was trying to garrote him with a scrum, I don't know. You know, and then he went back
allegedly
for more, and the TV pictures, the referee during the game actually stopped the game because there were protests from the Northampton players about this incident. The referee had the immediate video evidence on the big screen at the ground, couldn't see Sinclair going back for a second helping of Mr. Patterson's face. I think from memory gave him a yellow card, Sinclair, and then the incident after the game was referred to the sighting commissioner, who then got all the TV pictures, and it was revealed that, you know, Sinclair had been had gone back for more, having been yellow card for taking for ripping it, the Patterson scrum cap off. In that same game, there was another allegation, which was I don't know where it went to. The Harlequins captain on the day, David Ward, the hooker, he received an almighty shiner. And again, there was accusations that that might have been a gouging incident, but Harlequins didn't take it any further. Or again, perhaps there was no evidence in all the TV footage of Ward being attacked around the eye.
Brilliant. You see, I knew we'd get the answer, as it is. Quick one-word answer then from you, Rob, for the last one. The Aviva Premiership is now taking a rest because the European tournament start. Who's going to win the Champions Cup?
Champions Cup? In Europe?
Yes.
That's
the top one, I hope, if I've got it right.
Yes, that's... You want a prediction?
Yes, I want to know now so I can write it down and come back to you in May.
Well, Saracens are going for a treble. I think they're as good or better than any.
So we're going with Saracens. You're really sticking your neck out here, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying you've offered just my opinion. Saracens, best of the English. Their consistency is quite startling. So, yes, Saracens, my £2, yeah.
Good stuff. Rob, as ever, the most entertaining quarter of an hour of the night. It's brilliant to talk to Robert.
And we're playing Loughborough next Saturday, yes. 3 p.m. kickoff in the league game. We hope to have 15 players. So it's 3 p.m. All welcome as usual, yeah.
And we hope for some more points and another win.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. Rob, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye. The wonderful Rob Wildman there on all things. We do tend to do that on a Monday, don't we? We talk local and national on a Monday, because that's what Mondays are all about. Still to come, Lynn Coombs on the Hockey Ladies, but first of all, a quick football round-up from Saturday. Central Midlands League, Collingham lost 1-0 to a single goal. They was at home to the leaders, Harworth. They're having a good season. It's Collingham versus Newark on Friday night at Station Road. Methinks maybe a cricket score. I don't know. At the bottom, Renishaw Rovers gained their first points of the season, meaning now it's only goal difference keeping Newark Town off the bottom of that table, and that is sad. North East Counties League, we've already mentioned the big MAFC Mansfield getting 79 people to watch them win 4-0. The Renough Worksop match ended up 1-1 with Worksop equalising in the last minute, and Clipston lost again 3-2 at All Road Rangers, played 13, lost 13. And in Division 1, Ollerton shared 4 goals at Glasshoughton, wherever that is, and somewhere in Yorkshire to me, Whippet Country and cloth caps and all that sort of stuff. In the East Midlands Counties League, Radcliffe Olympic got their first points of the season. They won 1-0 at Ashby. And the goal scorer, Tyler Martin.
Well, good Lord.
Well done, Tyler. Yes, good stuff. Elsewhere, Bradley Wells, ex of Sarfle, scored Gainsborough's winner at Tamworth. That's their third win in 13 outings, and they're right down in the bottom group, and they're in real danger of losing that record that you pointed out. They've never ever been promoted or relegated. They don't pull the finger out, they're going to get relegated very soon. FA Trophy, the first Premier League. It gets so confusing this time, don't it? You've got the FA Cup, you've got the FA Trophy, you've got the FA Vars, and it's the same teams that seem to be in them all. So, the all-conquering South Shields, who's got nothing to do with Radio Newark Sport, but we keep mentioning them because they keep on winning. They won 5-2 at one of your teams that you've got quite friendly with, Scarborough.
Oh, yeah.
So, they won. In our region, Stamford, Cleethorpes and Baseford United all progressed to the next stage. I looked at the United Counties League because our Lincolnshire friends, Sleaford Town, are still looking for their first victory. 13 matches, 11 defeats. There's a lot of clubs out there struggling, Tony.
Yeah,
there really is. Boston Town's cup exploits mean they're already 5 matches behind the other teams in that division. Holbeach is 7th and they have matches in hand. And finally, in Division 1, Bourne and Harrowby sit next to each other in mid-table. Harrowby seems to have steadied the ship after a couple of bad seasons, and that's hopefully a good sign for Newark that they can weather the storm, steady the ship, and then move forward again. Harrowby's played 9-1, 4, lost 4. That's not bad.
I do fear for Newark Town. Really. they're going to do well to survive the season, I think.
I think they've really got to get through season. They're big enough to get through the season. If they can get through this season, some of the young lads that's coming through, and build from there. And who knows in local football? Because this season's favourite may not be next season's favourite. Mm. How many times have we been there? No Paul Halfpenny tonight. He's on a coaching course, so we've just gone and found ourselves an England international to talk to instead. Good evening, Lynn Coombs.
Evening, Mick. Evening, Tony.
Hi, Ellen.
Hiya. Let's go straight to the ladies' match on Saturday. I thought that was probably a lesson learned for everybody on the pitch and off the pitch, and I don't for one minute expect you to make any comments about anything, but from my point of view, 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go and almost cruising, you blew it, or the club blew it, or the team blew it.
We did. Like I say, we were 1-0 up at half time, kicked off second half, early goal, bang bang, three passes and it was a goal. Brilliant.
Can I just stop you there? Because
yeah.
I mean, I'm not totally, I'm not anywhere near up to speed with hockey, and a lot of hockey seems to be fairly methodical and it's planned and it's moved across and you know where you're going. That second goal was absolutely instinctive, and it was worth, that was the highlight of the day.
It was two or three that were involved in it. in the team.
But the sheer pace of the movement, yeah. That for it's the best hockey goal I've ever seen.
It just, like I say, it was their pushback or their pass at the second half. Intercepted the ball, laid it off to Sarah. Sarah laid it off first time to Laura. Laura ran through, did what she does best, and scored a cracking goal. And it just showed that we can do it. But we made hard work of it for the rest of the game, didn't we?
You did make hard work of it, and if I can, what surprised me, and please don't make any comment. What surprised me is the amount of time that senior players were standing watching. You really have to bring those youngsters on, but you have to have senior players there alongside of them to do what you was doing and to what Sarah can do, and that's talk to them. Because one of the other points I went with you, and I think this is, I'm not sure if it's how you normally play your hockey, Lynn, or it's something that you're doing at Newark. You never stopped talking to the people alongside of you, and they was listening to you.
Well, contrary to what other people might think, I do try and encourage as well as try and get my point across as well, regardless of who I play with and which team. But young Charlotte, who was playing alongside me as a screen, she had a cracking game, and it showed. She got man of the match as well. But just a bit of encouragement, a bit of support, it does go a long way. And regardless of how old you are or how young you are, but like I say, I just think that Charlotte had a cracking game, and it just shows you do need to talk. And I've never played, I said this to the girls last week at training, I've never played with a team that is so quiet, and it just makes everybody's job a lot harder because you just don't know where the players are behind you, or you know.
Paul Halfpenny's always said that, speak, shout. I shouldn't be doing it from the touchline, you should be doing it on the pitch. But even in football and rugby, the younger they are, the quieter they are. It's getting them to talk, isn't it?
It is. It's just about giving them the confidence. And like Ammo said to all the girls, it doesn't matter how old you are. You talk. If you want a player moving, you want the ball, then you shout for it. You tell them where to go. It doesn't matter how old you are, how experienced they are. I'd expect people to be shouting me and encouraging me or helping me. You know, it's a team game. We all do our bit. It makes the game so much easier.
We mustn't be too disappointed, because I did think Market Arbor was a half decent side. I mean, they never gave it up, and they did continue to chase it. And that's probably one of the things that Newark have got to learn, that teams are not going to lie down and die.
No, they were quite a physical team. They wanted the ball. They wanted that win, And it showed when that came back, like I say, they were 2-0 down and they were still pushing at 2-2 for the win. We were definitely under the cosh at the end.
Whereas last year, 2-0 would have been almost game over.
Yeah.
That's the difference, isn't it? So what Tony and I was talking about, and you watched that football match on Saturday afternoon, that's the difference between Step 7 and Step 6 football. That's the difference between Notts hockey and Midlands hockey.
Yes.
And Newark's got to get to grips with that.
They have, and like I say, I think we've had a good start to the league with 2 wins. But then I think we just thought, oh, we're coasting this, and yeah, we're going for our 3rd win. And like I say, 1 goal went in and made it 2-1, and then another one popped in. There you go. All of a sudden, we've dropped 2 points that we should have come away with 3 points.
Excellent. You are, and that puts you second in the table. Burton atop after beating Ashbourne, which was the other teams that started off with 100% records. So as Paul has told us, Burton, he thinks, are the team to beat, and it looks like they are going to be the team to beat. And I think you're away now for 3 weeks on the bounce, I've worked out.
We are.
So you've got some travelling to
Derby this week.
You will not be allowed to come back from Derby unless you win. You know that, don't you?
Well, I've just been informed that Forrester are at Derby as well on Saturday lunchtime as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I thought it was Sunday personally, but it might be Saturday.
Oh, I'm not sure. It's just what someone said to me.
But it's certainly this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's all you need, isn't it? The Brian Clough car park, yes, okay. The ladies' twos were beaten 6-0 at Southwall. The Southwall Brinkley, you know, you can argue that one, or they should have been promoted. They didn't 2 years ago, and they are going to win some games at big time. The ladies' three, Paul's pet project team, drew 1-1 at Beeston, and Paul has specifically asked me to mention tonight the last minute miss that would have given them the game. According to the young lady that struck the ball, it was a wonderful save on the line. According to Paul, it should have been a goal. Anne-Marie Crockett. yeah.
Mentioning no names.
No, mentioning all names, but it's Paul's pet team. And the men lost 5-2 in their opening game of the season to Ashby. And I think the men are in for a long season, and Paul... he's basically saying it's all about staying in that division. You can't go up, Lynn, can you? Get promoted to a high standard and lose four potentially top players as well.
No, and it does make it hard, but I mean, this week's shown it hasn't been a great week at all for Newark hockey, results wise. I've got all the results in front of me, and it doesn't make for good reading, does it?
It will come back. Lynn, I've run out of time. I've got to go. Thank you so much for joining us at short notice.
Thanks a lot.
It's always great to speak to you. Thanks,
speak
Lynn.
You soon.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. The wonderful Lynn Coombs in. I've just got time to say happy birthday to Colin Green. Not fast, Colin Green, one of our wonderful, wonderful runners. It's his birthday today, so I would dare say there's wine and cake somewhere. Richard and Rachel Sheldrake are here tomorrow to tell me what Aqua Running's all about. Until then, bye-bye. We love you.